Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Healthy Explosion Show, your best source for holistic health and wellness, with host, board-certified nutrition and wellness practitioner, Martina DeGoot, and co-host, Kimberly Britt. Together with expert guests, they bring you the very best in holistic health and wellness. Your comments and feedback are important to us. To speak to the host, call 914-338-0741. That's 914-338-0741. Now here is Martina DeGoot.
Good morning, and welcome to another episode of the Healthy Explosion Show. You are listening to Martina and Kimberly this morning. Kimberly, good morning. How are you? Or should I ask where you are?
Good morning. I'm great, thanks. I'm actually in Montreal currently. We're going to be heading to Maine for vacation for the next week, right after the show today, but I'm in Montreal at the moment.
Awesome. How's the weather?
It's okay. It's a little gray, but it's warming up here finally, so it's good.
That's awesome. When we're in Hotlanta, you know, I think yesterday was in the 90s. Couple of months, we have actually been traveling quite a bit, so that's interesting. You never know where the show is going to be broadcast from. Well, we have another great show topic today on gluten, because we both felt gluten need much more explanation. There's so many misconceptions about gluten, what gluten happens to be, what the causes are, and so forth. And so many people are affected by gluten allergies. I know I am, and so is Kimberly, and so many other people that we know. But I just want to say that before we get started, I want you to know that the topics we discuss on this show is not intended to treat. It's for educational purposes only. So please, please always consult your physician or healthcare provider before making changes in your diet or exercise routine. Now, what I can say is we offer personal and group nutrition coaching via our Experts of Wellness professionals through healthyexplosion.com. It's our live online nutrition training and coaching programs. So you can visit healthyexplosion.com or healthyexplosion.net for more information and to sign up for one of our programs. Now, to just give you an idea about gluten, I want to ask first, Kimberly, before we get into that, how did you, because I know that you're also gluten intolerant, so I just want to ask a base, how did you come to realize that you were gluten intolerant?
Well, I'd always kind of eaten gluten, just I think how, you know, traditionally an American child is raised with cereal and, you know, breads and things like that. So I never was able to pinpoint gluten specifically until I kind of did what we call in the nutrition field like an elimination diet, taking it out of my diet, seeing how I felt, assessing it, and then maybe if I put it back in for a day or two, then seeing how I would react to it. And that's when I was able to really see that I was gluten insensitive. It wasn't until just recently, and that was about a year and a half ago, and it wasn't until just recently that I got some blood tests done, which confirmed that I am severely sensitive to gluten and other grains as well, actually, some oats and things like that. So that's kind of how I found out.
Okay, that's in terms of how I found out I was gluten intolerant. I've had digestive problems for, oh God, many, 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 many years, and was able to overcome through diet change. And then 5 years ago, had my immune system kind of went defunct on me, so to speak, you know, had from stress. And I started having these really bad stomach problems. And so, you know, my naturopath doctor tested me and found out that it was gluten. So once I understood that it was gluten problem, I eliminated gluten from my eating lifestyle. But it's very difficult to actually avoid gluten because it's in so many different things. So I just want to just give you an overall definition of gluten. Now, gluten is a mixture of glutenin, gliadin, prolamines, and other proteins found in wheat, rye, and barley. Now, the gliadin is actually an alcohol substitute fraction of gluten, and it's very toxic for people with celiac disease, as are similar proteins in barley and rye. Now, the Latin word for gluten actually means glue. And as its name suggests, it's really, you know, it's gummy. So what it does, it forms, gluten forms when these proteins mix with water, and it's the combination of the proteins and water that gives wheat dough its elasticity. You ever notice when you, Kimberly, when you mix wheat dough, how it becomes very, you know, elastic?
Exactly. And sticky,
yeah.
And you have to keep adding flour
very
and
sticky.
Additional things.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So that's the gluten. And then gluten also enables dough to rise when it's baked. Now, although gluten is generally found in food, a surprising number of vitamins, supplements, and pharmaceuticals also contain gluten. It's the key ingredient in some adhesives, such as the ones used to on envelopes. Isn't that interesting, Kimberly? Remember the show that we're doing on envelopes? Gluten also is found in some lipsticks, lip gloss, lip balms, toothpaste, and mouthwash.
Wow.
So again, it's very difficult to avoid gluten, and it's also found in soy sauce. And how many times, you know, a lot of chefs, and not even chefs, but, you know, use soy sauce, but it actually a lot of time contains gluten. My gosh. Just 2 weeks ago, I was having this terrible problem in my stomach. I'm like, what's going on? What's going on? And come to think of it was actually a gluten problem. I actually got a hold of some gluten, and it caused diarrhea and severe stomach cramps. So it's, what can I say? It's very real, and so many people are just not aware of it. I know that you've also got some great information you want to share on the topic of gluten, Kimberly. So what are some of the things that you've come across?
Certainly. Yeah, well, gluten's a big buzzword as of late. I mean, a lot of people are using, oh, this is gluten-free, and it doesn't necessarily mean it's healthy. We should, you know, obviously touch upon that later in the show. But the CDC, the Center for Disease Control, they estimate about 10% of individuals in the United States are celiac, which means full-blown allergic reaction to the gliadin, as you'd mentioned, Martina, that's found in gluten and wheat protein. And this statistic, you know, as a lot of people who actually know gluten and they know how hard it is to actually test for gluten sensitivity, we think it's grossly underestimating, actually, the amount of people that are maybe not fully gluten intolerant, meaning they're not exactly celiac disease, but they certainly classify as gluten sensitive. And there's varying degrees of gluten sensitivity that are important to touch upon. So, I kind of want to go into that. Gluten intolerant means you have antibodies present in your blood that are characteristic of an immune response or allergic reaction that's going to be set off by the ingestion or by ingesting gluten. This is what you find in a full-blown celiac disease person. Gluten sensitivity means the antibodies associated with gluten sensitivity may not be present in the blood. However, the symptoms and the damage caused by ingesting gluten is exactly the same, if not maybe even more so, than a person who has full-blown celiac disease. A lot of doctors don't truly understand this distinction, and so testing for gluten intolerance is kind of inadequate as it stands today because we're ruling certain patients, oh, you don't have this allergy, you're fine. But they're still experiencing the problems as if they were full-blown celiac. So there's a lot of research that clearly needs to be done still. But what we do know is that there's varying degrees of gluten sensitivity, and more than just the celiac patients could actually benefit
Kimberly?
Yeah.
Okay. I think I almost, are you still there? Okay, for a moment I couldn't hear you at all. Hopefully not having a problem. Also, that is, you're absolutely right. And wheat allergy or gluten intolerance is, it's very common. Wheat is a leading food allergen, as we know, along with milk, eggs, peanut, fish, shellfish, and soy. And, you know, so symptoms of food allergies can range from unpleasant or uncomfortable to life-threatening. And the most common symptoms is of food allergies, usually red, itchy skin, hives or rashes, watery eyes, swelling of the eyelids, face, on your lip, tongue, nausea, stomach cramps, and diarrhea. So as I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, I was suffering with bad stomach cramps and diarrhea, and that was a good indicator that I had probably ingested some gluten somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Now, more serious symptoms, and I guess for those who have the full-blown celiac, include hoarseness, tightening of the throat or chest, wheezing, and difficulty breathing, dizziness, sudden drop in blood pressure, and even tingling in the hands, feet, lips, or scalp. Now, the thing is that, you know, these symptoms are linked with so many different type of illnesses and diseases that, Kimberly, as you were mentioning, a lot of times mm-hmm. they go undetected by physicians because they're looking for the obvious, you know, type of illnesses, but not the ones that are dormant or, you know, not that well researched or discussed,
right.
which is gluten intolerance. And if the physician isn't really knowledgeable in that area, then, of course, they're not going to be looking for that. So that's one of the big
mm-hmm.
problems. And that's how a lot of people end up with those acid reflux medication because, you
yeah.
know, you're constantly trying to you know, suppress the problem instead of dealing with it. And now the gliadin protein, what it actually does, which is one of the main ones that really attack the immune system and your stomach, is that it actually, your body recognizes it as an invader. So it puts up a defense. But the gliadin protein, it can actually work its way through where your nutrients is absorbed, which is in the small intestine. And inside
mm-hmm.
the small intestine, you have these ridges, you know, villi. And that's where the nutrient is absorbed. So this, and I call it a man-eating, not necessarily gender-based, but, you know, it's or a piranha of the digestive system, where it goes into the... it works its way through the small intestine, and it starts to, you know, it infects the area. So it actually, the ridges that is supposed to absorb the nutrients start to now become very smooth. And when the ridges or the villi become very smooth, then the nutrient is not being absorbed. So you have people that are eating and they're malnourished. Because, you know, whatever
mm-hmm.
they're eating, it, you know, it's not going into the blood as nutrient. Instead, it's going in as antibodies. A lot of times you find people that have autoimmune disease, and it's coming from the gut. As so many of, you know, our guests that have actually covered that area, even, and one of our guests being Dr. Kyle, has mentioned, everything starts in the gut. If we can solve the problem
mm-hmm.
of, you know, the gut, you know, then we will, you know, be able to lead much healthier lives in the long run. So that is very, 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 very important. Just want you to know that don't just look for the obvious, but have the testing done. That's very, very, very
mm-hmm.
important. Kimberly, I know, what are some of the other things that you have come across? And I know that you've had to make changes in your eating lifestyle because of gluten. So do you want to share just some of the experiences you've had?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, just like you, I kind of, if I get a hold of gluten these days, I can feel it. Like, I can definitely tell the next day. It's not an immediate reaction for me. It's kind of like a sustained release reaction. I feel it the next day and maybe even the day after that. Recently had some gluten, as we talked about, Martina, at my brother's graduation party a couple of weeks back, and it was at an Italian restaurant, and what can you do? And c'est la vie. And next day, literally had to sleep about 14 hours because I was completely wiped out, just physically and mentally exhausted, and I couldn't even work out and kind of go about my daily routine. Like, felt mono-ish is the only way I can describe it, if anyone's ever had mono in the past. So it was incredible, and I think that's kind of, you know, that's a telltale for gluten. If you cut it out of your diet and then you introduce it back, you can kind of realize, wow, this is not something that I need to be consuming every day. But when you have it every day, you become conditioned to, you know, feeling kind of the effects a little bit here and there, but they're not as severe. And the longer you go without having something like that in your diet and you reintroduce it, the worse the effect is going to be. I think that's how you and I react, Martina.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. It's crazy how it happens, yeah.
Yeah, it really is. And you brought up a good point. If you suspect that you may be gluten intolerant, just start eliminating those wheat allergies out of your diet and see if you notice a difference in your overall way of feeling. And then if you do, then you want to test again to make sure. You could just start reintroducing it, as you mentioned. And if you get the same reaction and you know, okay, now I need to seek, you know, professional help. So now, you know, how do we treat wheat allergy? The best way is to what? Eliminate things out of our diet, out of our eating lifestyle.
Completely.
But it's difficult to do because several years back, you know, as I mentioned, when I was having the problem with gluten, you know, I was eating gluten-free, being very, very careful. And I just want to say another way of really avoiding gluten is to prepare your own foods. That is the key. Prepare your own foods instead of, you know, buying cookies and cakes and you know, even boxed cereals, because a lot of them may have wheat and not realize it. So The more fresh fruits and vegetables that you buy, especially being organic, and also cooking your own meals, it really helps in terms of, you know, living a healthier gluten-free lifestyle. Because it's very difficult when you're on the go. You don't know what the preparations of the food was. Unless you're in a restaurant that says gluten-free, then you know. Then they have taken those precautionary methods, but they don't always do that, you know. So,
no, exactly.
You know.
An argument, I don't know if you ever get this, but an argument I got from my family a lot when I first started eliminating gluten and kind of talking with them about it was, well, people have been eating this for thousands of years, you know. Like, they talk about breaking bread in the Bible, for example. Like, how could something so ancient and ingrained in human existence be bad for us? Do you ever hear that?
Yes, but you know what's interesting, and I think I mentioned it in a show back a while ago, but actually wheat was not a food staple. It only became a food staple maybe 8,000 to 10,000 years ago, starting in Egypt. And this is also biblical, they can actually check. But there was a famine where there was just nothing growing at all. And you know, it was a good strategy, you know, it was wisdom, actually, from above, I call it. But actually, in order to sustain, you know, the people during that time, they were, instead of using wheat was used in building materials, you know. Wheat is so popular, it's, you know, so it was used for building bricks. And so during the famine, they started harvesting the grain, or before the famine, and so it started being introduced into the diet as a way of survival. But what they have found over the years, and then you've got to realize now that a lot of the wheat that we're consuming, a lot of the food, it's been genetically modified.
Exactly.
You know, and mm-hmm. so it's going all, automatically going to cause problems within our system. But it's, and I know it was years ago that there was a research done, and they found they were actually they excavated Egyptian mummies, and they did research, and they actually went in and found forms of gluten inside of the one of the mummies. And apparently it wasn't, they said that the person died, but they weren't that, maybe someone in their 30s. So apparently there was a problem with gluten all along. However, there was also a period of time before traditional medicine where people were eating things, going back to Eden. So they were eating very natural things, doing a lot of fruits, a lot of vegetables, and not eating as much. Now, since, you know, we have evolved, so to speak, in terms of, I don't like to use that term, but evolved in terms of science and medicine and so forth. But over that period of time now, you have all these genetically modified foods. And so if you're not eating like a certified organic food, you can't really tell whether or not it's been genetically modified. And our bodies were made, right? Our bodies were made, our DNA is coded to accept certain types of food, the food that it was created to consume. And so with us consuming all of these modified types of food, it's actually causing all types of problems. And also, you know, wheat gluten allergy is linked to diabetes. Even type 1, they say, with autoimmune responses. So, you know, we have almost 800 million people globally with diabetes. And I know it's lifestyle, because lifestyle has to do with eating. 95% of the people with diabetes is type 2. So you only have, I think, 5% of the population that's diagnosed with diabetes
mm-hmm.
who are actually type 1. So obviously we can make changes, but again, it goes back to education, right?
Yeah.
It goes back to education. So
yeah,
that's one of the reasons. And, you know, wheat, it's just like corn, has become a staple where it's in everything.
And corn is genetically modified as well. Yeah.
Exactly. You know, it is. So that's why we really need knowledge. We need to understand. And without knowledge, you know, we perish. What prompted me to suggest the show to you for this particular week, there was someone that was saying to me that they went into a bakery that was said it was a gluten-free bakery, and they requested that you not bring any non-gluten-free products into the store, and they felt offended because of, you know, lack of understanding. And so I said, my God, we really need to explain, do a show and explain about gluten. It's not to make anyone feel uncomfortable or that we're insensitive, but gluten is a very real problem to people such as yourself, myself, and many other people. And so awareness is the key. And
for sure.
Oh, another example is this. About a year ago, I was wondering, I said, what's going on? I'm not eating any non-gluten foods, but I got a little gluten attack in my stomach. And then, you know, my naturopath doctor said to me, says, well, I said, but I'm not eating anything that's non-gluten. I mean, that's gluten. And so he said to me, well, what about your utensils, your toaster? I said, oh, my God. So, you know, it's interesting, but if you're using a toaster, simple thing as a toaster, where gluten food is also being toasted, it can actually contaminate. People don't realize it, but it's true, because
it's true.
Unless you're really studying that. And that was the reason. And when I tried to explain, you know, it wasn't well received. So I really wanted to clarify this, that it's not that we're walking around carrying our food all the time and don't want to eat out or eat certain things, but it's a life-saving mechanism to keep us healthy. That's all it
and
is.
I think
so go ahead,
you have
sorry.
To kind of reinforce that people, we're talking about nutrition on a molecular level. I mean, that's key, I think, in understanding of the cross-contamination is real, because you're talking about small particles within particles of what's triggering these allergies. And so mm-hmm. cross-contamination would be a very real concern, because something as small as a crumb could actually set off an allergic reaction in somebody that was that sensitive.
True.
And I think that it's also important to note that people kind of hear this gluten-free this, gluten-free that, and they kind of roll their eyes because they think that it's a fanatical thing, which, you know, maybe at times some people do get fanatical with it, but it's key that gluten, even if you're not allergic to it, the modern wheat that we have today, and Martina, you touched upon it, it's been so genetically modified that it doesn't really play a role in any person's nutritious diet, just because it doesn't provide the nutrients that we maybe once did to some degree, even if it wasn't beneficial or, you know, it maybe had some minerals or whatever. But now the wheat that is being farmed today in the United States, and it started in the 60s, they created a dwarf wheat crop specifically out of the fear for overpopulation and starvation that was going on at the time. And so they created this kind of genetically modified seed that would increase crop yields, which means that it could produce more of it faster, et cetera. But the problem with this wheat, and that's the wheat that we have today 99% of the time, is that it's less nutritious. It can't hold physically as many minerals as the wheat of the past. It contains more gliadin, which is exactly what celiacs are allergic to. And this is what a lot of researchers are finding is what's increasing the celiac population and the gluten sensitivity population throughout the world, is because this wheat in general is just so much more offensive.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Now, I just have a strong feeling if people, I'm not saying that everyone is gluten intolerant, but it's a good way to test, especially if you're having problems in other areas. And as I said,
mm-hmm.
you know, gluten sensitivity it mimics so many other types of illnesses and diseases that if you are having any of these that we mentioned, after eating or just on a whole, even being fatigued, then start to really look at your food content. Be more discriminating in terms, and I use the word discriminating, in terms of food label, what foods you eat. You know, if there's things
mm-hmm.
on a label that you don't understand, maybe you should not be consuming it. You want to make sure that whatever is on the label is something that you are going to be able to buy naturally. Not everything you're going to be able to. There's some things you do have to buy that's already, pre-cooked. But, you know, be very discriminating in terms of what you buy and what you put
mm-hmm.
in your stomach. Because once there, it starts a chain reaction. Now, you mentioned, we're talking about celiac. Now, most commonly reported symptoms of celiac disease are gastrointestinal problems, abdominal
mm-hmm.
pain, and diarrhea. But some people with celiac disease suffer from headaches and constipation. Others even suffer with joint pain, itchy rashes, or fatigue. Now, according
mm-hmm.
to the National Institute of Diabetes and Digestive and Kidney Disease, or acronym NIDDK, irritability is most frequently reported symptom in children with celiac disease. So these are some of the things that they're saying in children, because, you know, a lot of times you may have a child and the child is acting out or just exhibiting certain things and they're not thinking, okay, maybe that's attributed to the diet. But changes in personality, children are often cranky, irritable, and unhappy. Adults may be depressed, suffer from impaired memory, and confusion and even schizophrenia. My God.
Wow.
Short stature and unnaturally pale skin, dental enamel defects and tooth discoloration, malnutrition caused by malabsorption of nutrients, as I mentioned before, vitamin K deficiency, iron deficiency, calcium deficiency, potassium deficiency, even infertility, atrophy of the spleen, thinning bones that may lead to osteoporosis, and even elevated liver enzymes. Now, these are things to look for, you know, if a child is exhibiting any of these. But then they said the symptoms of celiac disease include digestive disturbances such as gas, diarrhea, abdominal pressure, distension, and discomfort, nausea, and vomiting, weight loss, increased appetite without weight gain, fatigue, skin problems such as canker sores, atopic dermatitis, which is thick skin on the face, elbows, knees, and arms, extremely itchy rash that appears on the elbow, knees, back, and buttocks. There's a list of things here just to, you know, just to, you know, go through the list. There's a lot more here, but these are just a few of the things that, you know, people who have celiac disease can actually encounter. And the amazing thing is this, that, of course, celiac disease is also linked to the autoimmune disorders such as thyroid disease, even lupus, type 1 diabetes, which is a condition in which the cells of the pancreas produce little or no insulin. And as I mentioned, liver disease, collagen vascular disease disorders. That's where there are problems in the production and use of collagen, which is responsible for the shape and structure of tendons, bones, and connective tissues. Even rheumatoid arthritis. So it's just so much that's associated with this. So I think... Looking at the gut, and I keep saying the gut, that finding out what's inside the gut, what you're putting there, and the problems will go a long way. We're going to take a break, and we will be back momentarily with more from Martina and Kimberly.
Welcome to Healthy Explosions Global Holistic Online Nutrition Training and Coaching Programs, the ultimate in individual health and wellness empowerment. Offering state-of-the-art virtual classrooms with live instructor-led course experiences, individual and group programs, and CEU-approved courses. No travel, no stress, no hassle. Available from any location. Ideal for employee wellness program with tried, tested, and proven results. If you are ready to take control of your health, understand nutrition for your individual needs, understand your lab test results, and the signals to determine imbalances within your body, as well as the art of eating for good digestive health, then this program is for you. So, take your health to the next level. Sign up for one of our courses today. Still not convinced? Request a free 30-minute Skype consultation with a specialist or email programs@healthyexplosion.com.
Welcome back to the Healthy Explosion Show with Martina and Kimberly. Kimberly, this is awesome. There's just so much to gluten that we would have to do probably 100 shows just to cover all the ins and out of, you know, gluten intolerance. Now, we've been talking about gluten, but one of the things that we want to mention is that you have to be careful, too, when buying gluten-free products. Right, Kimberly? Because not all of the products that say gluten-free are actually, they may be free of wheat, but they could also have other bad ingredients. So you want to really make sure, I was just taking this from an article. It says, it was in Natural News, that gluten-free vegetarian and vegans are the rage these days. And for many people, whether they have a food allergy or not, believe that foods with these and other common labeling distinctions are automatically healthier than other foods. And then the article goes on to say that, but do they really know what is contained in that gluten-free loaf of bread or those vegetarian sausage links? And said, chances are if it is packaged, processed, and contains more than about half a dozen ingredients on the label, it is still an unhealthy food, regardless of whether or not it contains wheat or animal-based products, which is absolutely true. And we want to mention that again. And that just goes to what we're saying before. You know, too many ingredients that you don't understand. If you don't understand them, you probably shouldn't be eating the food anyhow. So it's just really, again, being very discriminating in terms of what we buy. And another thing that we're saying, you find soy in so many different things. Soy, you know, a lot of times it's genetically modified soybean, which is also a problem. You know.
Oh yeah, and soy is the most highly pesticized crop actually that we have in the United States today. So if you were to eat soy, you would be definitely getting chemicals, and it's like you said, genetically modified. I think something I want to mention really quick is, like, there's kind of two schools of thought that I've encountered with people trying to get off gluten, and they kind of take it in, okay, so I'm going to spend the whole week, I'm not going to have any gluten, and then I'll give myself a couple of cheats on the weekend. And this is a problem with gluten in particular, because it seems like a good idea, like living in moderation, and I'm all for that personally, but gluten actually can take your gut, rather, months to heal from the effects of a true gluten intolerance. And if you've been having it for years and you had an allergy or you were sensitive and you didn't know, even having it once a week can still prohibit you from feeling kind of as good as you would if you'd cut it out completely for a period of, say, 3 months. And I think that's really important to keep in mind. But also something, Martina, that you mentioned, which is huge, and we could spend, again, another whole show talking about, is people go gluten-free and then they head right to their, you know, natural food store or Whole Foods, whatever, and they buy gluten-free substitutes for everything that they were eating in the past, gluten-free bread, gluten-free muffins. If they used to have, cereal, they buy the gluten-free version. And this is a problem because it's typically full of soy, sugar, sometimes even high fructose corn syrup, not if it's in Whole Foods, obviously, but some of these other stores. And it's just, they're not, again, you're missing the boat. Like, it has to be a complete lifestyle change no matter how you cut it. And that's hard for a lot of people, but it's totally possible.
Yes, definitely, most definitely. And, there's constant research that's occurring, but sometimes the research takes a while, and this is why we really need to get information out so people can understand. I'm just looking over this article again on why is your gluten-free or vegan diet truly healthy? And this is something that mentioned. You just mentioned soy as well. So this just basically confirms this. So take the case of soy-based sausages and meat patties. These foods are marketed as being a healthy alternative for people trying to avoid meat-based products. But soy-based meat substitutes are not only loaded with highly processed soy, which typically comes from genetically modified soybeans, but they are also jam-packed with other flavoring and preservative chemicals like modified starches, various derivatives of monosodium glutamate, MSG. We need to do a show on that, by the way. Artificial coloring to make them look like actual meat. Synthetic vitamins, vitamin fortifiers, and other chemicals. So
I never understood why, if you want to go gluten, vegan or vegetarian, why you would buy vegan sausage. I don't know. That's just me. Like, I just don't understand why anyone would do that. But especially because, as somebody who's looking at these ingredients, they're not healthy. You're thinking you're making a positive move for your health. And like you said, Martina, it's full of things that are even that are just as offensive as the counterpart. I mean, I'm not somebody who believes personally chicken or like a whole natural meat source is bad for you, but if you're, you know, ethically doing this, then you really got to look at these ingredients.
That's true. Exactly. Now, the article is really interesting. It's that gluten-free foods are often loaded with refined sugar, processed oils, which is exactly what we were saying. It said the same is true for many gluten-free baked goods, since gluten-free flours typically lack the chewy texture inherent in wheat-based products. They, too, are often loaded with additives that make them mimic these flavors and textures. And while some gluten-free products admittedly still contain only the most natural alternatives, many commercial varieties contain a laundry list of unusual ingredients, many of which are likely of genetically modified origin that make them palatable for the average person. So true. And have you noticed that you can go into just about any store these days and find gluten-free products?
Yeah, I mean, it's becoming definitely a fad. So, you know, they always respond to what the market demands, these food manufacturers, and now they're putting out, like Betty Crocker, for example, put out a gluten-free cake mix and brownie mix. And I understand if you have a child that's gluten-free, kind of, you don't want to never give this child birthday cake again, for example, or anything, you know, similar, whatever the occasion, holiday, et cetera. But I think that, again, like you said, Martina, there's ways to make things yourself and at home where you can guarantee you're not adding all these chemicals and you can still kind of mimic a cake-like texture, a bread-like texture by using much healthier options. I know I use coconut flour pretty frequently whenever I have to bake or do anything. I mean, it's not something I do every day, but when the occasion calls for it, I don't hesitate to reach for things like that. And I know that they're organic and that they come from a great source. It's not full of, like you said, all these MSG and colorings, et cetera.
Exactly. And for children, you know, even because it's now summer, you know, some great snacks that are, you know, can be inexpensive are dessert items is to get organic fruits and freeze them. And then blend them into smoothie, you know, top it off. You could put a little piece of mint on them. And or you can actually, coconut, there's a way to make coconut whipped cream and put a little on top. So there are many different ways of making really delicious type of desserts and foods that are healthy. So again, it's just knowing what to do. So be careful. Don't just go out and just because it says gluten-free, buy it. Read the ingredients. Be very discriminating where that is concerned. If there are too many ingredients and you don't understand what they are, chances are you should not be buying it. So walk away from it. It's best to start from scratch and buy the vegetables and fruits yourself. And start experimenting with your own dishes. You'd be surprised. You find out that there's a chef hidden in you somewhere. Isn't that what you did? Basically, Kimberly, you started experimenting with different types of, you know, gluten-free products in terms of, I should say, gluten-free natural ingredients, and then started creating your own recipes. And as a matter of fact, there are a couple of recipes that you've placed on the HealthyExplosionShow.com. If you go to the archive, I think there are a couple of recipes that you can download as well. You know, and that's something that we may do again, is to have a show maybe on gluten-free, you know, desserts and foods and how to actually create, you know, great recipes right from your kitchen. So that is so key. But again, you know, you can't assume a food or a product is nutritious simply because it says gluten-free. You have to really make sure you understand what you're buying and just be very careful. Again, some gluten-free products are just blatantly harmful in terms of the ingredients that they contain, such as high fructose corn syrup, which you mentioned, Kimberly. You know, which is could be very, very damaging. As a matter of fact, Great Britain, the UK, they have banned HFC, CS, which is high fructose corn syrup, from products that being imported into the country, because they know of the harm that it can cause. But here in, you know, where we are in the U.S., that's not on the list of ingredients not to have. So we have to, you know, do the research ourselves. We have to be, again, be very diligent in what we put in to our system. Wow, my goodness. Now, and I think I mentioned some of this before, but just to give like a visual or mental diagram of how gluten gets into the system. You know, once you put food in your mouth, digestion starts from the moment it enters your mouth. So if the food contains gluten, the gluten molecule, of course, enters the digestive tract, buried deep inside a jungle of starches. Each gluten molecule makes its journey from the mouth through the esophagus and to the stomach. And from there, the gluten passes into the various segments of the upper intestinal tract and through the two long segments of the small intestine. Now, under ideal conditions, starch molecules are typically and chemically opened up and stripped apart into smaller units. The body need to produce cellular energy and for all vital functions. But what happens as a result of the gluten is that it actually, you know, when an individual digests, when an individual digests gluten, the gluten may remain wrapped in undigested starch when it leaves the small intestine and passes through the ileocecal valve and enters the large intestine, which is the colon. The colon does not expect to encounter undigested protein like our stowaway gluten molecules. Oh, that's a great, I love that, stowaway, because it's devious. So the immune system sends out a powerful alert. This alert acts as a series of inflammatory and allergic reactions, which can become chronic sources of pain, distress, and degraded digestion. You know, so, wow, just imagine this, because I always like to visualize when I teach, you know, people about understanding the body. I like to go through and things that people can actually remember. So this is a little, what do you call it? It's a sneaky fellow. it has a way of trying to elude the normal process and works its way into an area where it's going to cause, you know, sometimes irreparable damages. So we really, really have to be, you know, careful in what we do. And as I say, in terms of treatment, one effective treatment option available is to really practice a lifelong elimination of wheat, rye, and barley from your diet. Those are tricky. And especially since the wheat that we're consuming has been genetically modified. It's not like the wheat of old. It's now, you know, it's been chemicalized, like so many other foods. Wow.
Yeah.
Anything more you have on the topic to share with us?
Well, I mean, you really touched upon one of the things I wanted to mention, which was kind of the damage it could do in the gut. A term that I think is getting thrown around a lot in the community of kind of gluten-free is leaky gut. And I just kind of want to touch upon that. It's along the exact lines of what you mentioned, but gluten consumption over time, as you mentioned, Martina, can kind of flatten out the villi in the small intestine, which are the finger-like projections, which are responsible for absorption of nutrients. And with those being flattened over time and damaged, actually further damage can happen in the form of tears and actually ruptures within the stomach and the intestine. And what this means is food particles are going to begin to leak out. And these food particles, they find their way, you know, proteins from meats we're eating, for example, find their way into circulation in the bloodstream. Your body doesn't recognize what these proteins are, and this itself will set off an immune response. But these proteins are very similar to the proteins we have in our own joints and within our with our own body tissues. And now your body has set off an immune response against these protein molecules, which unfortunately are so similar to our own, it actually begins attacking our own body tissues along with these proteins that are from whatever we were eating. And this is one of the reasons we have such an increase in things like arthritis and the early degeneration of our joints, because they're actually being attacked by our own bodies. And it's kind of hard to imagine, but it's happening, and it's a crazy and a very sad phenomenon, because so many people who are diagnosed with arthritis, rheumatoid arthritis, their doctors don't understand this process enough, or they don't believe in this process enough, even though it's been proven scientifically to exist, to test for things like gluten intolerance, and then they end up putting them on drugs and things like that. And really, the only way to cure something like that is to completely remove gluten from the diet. So
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Again, we mentioned that the only surefire way, and it's very difficult unless you're controlling your food environment, meaning you're not eating out, you know, and in your kitchen, your home environment, you're practicing the gluten-free living. That's one of the best ways of, you know, of really eliminating gluten or avoiding it. I don't know if we can ever fully eliminate it, but avoiding it. And some of the being aware of some of the obvious sources. So three or four things we want you to take away: that it is possible to live a fairly normal gluten-free life by avoiding, you know, and gluten foods and paying close attention to ingredients and in food labels. Now, obvious sources of gluten are bagels, breads, cakes, cereals, cookies, noodles, pasta, pastries, pies, and rolls. Now, other foods that may contain gluten are candy, chips, cold cuts, cured pork products, drink mixes, French fries, gravy, hot dogs, imitation meat, and seafood, rice mixes, sauces, self-basting turkeys, soups, and soy sauce. Gluten may also be found in a wide range of ingredients, including bouillon cubes, seasonings, and spice blends or mixes. Modified food starch, malt, malt extract, modified hops extract, yeast malt, sprout extract, dextrin, and caramel color. These are all obvious areas where, you know, gluten more than likely exists. Now, gluten-free and starches and grains, buckwheat, cassava, corn, flax, flours made from nuts, beans, and seeds. And it's something I want to mention is that we can create flour from various beans, right, Kimberly? Such that you can have a black bean flour. I've seen that. I know also chickpeas or, you know, you can have that in chickpeas flour. So many different beans and nuts can actually be converted into flour and then used to bake, you know, and in areas where you would normally use wheat flour. Indian rice grass is also Job's tears, I'm thinking, or Job's tears. I'm not familiar with that particular grain.
Me either.
Legumes, of course, millet, Montina, Some of these I'm not even familiar with, because there's so many different types of foods. Nuts, oats,
mm-hmm.
potatoes, quinoa, rice, sago, tapioca, wild rice, yucca plants. Those
yeah.
are all gluten-free. Now, I want to mention something about oats. While oats does not contain gluten, if it's processed in a factory where
right.
gluten products are contained, it may also have gluten in it. So it could also, you know, give off a reaction. And now, I don't know if you've noticed looking at some of the products, especially if it says, it could say organic, but it'll say processed in a plant where milk, dairy, soy, you know, different products have been used, just to let you know
mm-hmm.
that there is there's a good chance that, you know, it may not be, it's not gluten-free because it's been processed in the plant. If it's in the plant, it's in the environment, so it could contaminate, you know, cross-contaminate. Going back
mm-hmm.
to how we began the show when I mentioned that, you know, there's someone that I was talking to earlier this past week that said that they saw the sign, no non-gluten products in the store. And, you know, it was really, they didn't fully understand. So I really wanted to, you know, again, clarify. But, yeah, and for those who are affected by gluten, these are very real issues for us. You know, we want to make sure that the environment is as free as possible. And, you know, there are also, you know, there are cookbooks of gluten-free cooking. But I think if a person starts out by eliminating the items that contain gluten and just buying items that are obviously gluten-free and start preparing
mm-hmm.
your meals and a different recipe from that, it's a surefire way of saying, okay, well, you know, I know what I'm eating. It's gluten-free. Now,
exactly.
I mentioned oats, and they said considerable research reveals that when consumed in moderation, pure uncontaminated oats processed in a delicate facility are generally well tolerated by most children and adults with celiac disease. So if that's the case, then you know that oats are also gluten-free. But again, it can be contaminated during milling or processing. So
mm-hmm.
I think the steel cut where it's unprocessed is the best, and you can buy that. It's a little bit more. And then you can actually, I use the Vitamix and just turn it into flour.
Yeah, exactly. I used to do that too.
Yeah, so that's
yeah.
another.
And it's an easy way to make them in the morning, like steel cut oats before, like you go to work in the morning. You can actually soak them overnight, and
mm-hmm.
it softens them up enough generally where you can just eat them. You don't have to spend the time cooking them per se.
Oh, really? That's a good idea. Okay. So
yeah, I've soaked them.
Yeah.
The longer the better, because it does take
mm-hmm.
time. So, like, I would, you know, soak them after dinner, and then by morning, it would generally, the texture was, you know, exactly as if I'd cooked it. So it's something to play around with.
That's awesome. Wow. Okay, we're almost at the end of the show. Kimberly, anything you want to add in terms of takeaways from the show?
Sure.
Show?
Yeah, you know, I think like what we're saying with gluten, you know, it's probably generally well received by most people because there's just the science to back everything that we've said up and more. If you were to research this on your own, you would find tons of studies that are showing that this is a real problem and something that we can fix. But I think mostly what I want people to take away is that it is possible to live a gluten-free life and not feel deprived, not feel like you're missing out. And if you were to just try it for a couple of months and then maybe go back on your gluten diet or whatever, you wouldn't even want to have it anymore because you truly would feel that much better, even if you weren't allergic to it. The insulin spike alone that you get from consuming whole wheat products, it's not something that's conducive with good health. So just think about your life and think about kind of what you have control over and your time that you can spend in the kitchen with your family and cooking healthy foods and where you can begin making any changes that you see possible. It's totally doable. It maybe seems daunting at first, but as you kind of ease into it, it's second nature to me at this point, and it's not a big deal. You know, it's something that's totally doable.
Exactly. Same here. And the main thing, again, is to be discriminating when it comes to labels, especially if you're buying gluten-free foods. As Kimberly just mentioned before, research. You know, research, education is the key. So just want to say this was great. I'm very happy that we're able to bring this information to you. We may even do another show gluten-related, probably will, because it's such a important topic, and I think it requires more and more attention to really help in you know, reducing the problems that we're having that's all stemming from the gut. So I keep saying the gut because that's the cornerstone, that, you know, that's your nutrition, and that, you know, everything else is centered around that. So it's very, very important. Kimberly, thank you for joining me all the way from Montreal, Canada. I'm in sunny Atlanta today, and you have a wonderful, wonderful vacation in, is it Maine?
Thank you. Have a great weekend, Martina.
And thank you very much. And to our listening audience, you have a wonderful, wonderful week. And don't forget to tune in next week at the same time for another episode of the Healthy Explosion Show with Martina and Kimberly. Have a great, 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 great weekend. Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning into the Healthy Explosion Show, your best source for holistic health. Join us on Saturdays live at 10 a.m. on Blog Talk Radio. Visit HealthyExplosionShow.com for information about the show, listen to archive shows, read our online newsletter, visit the Marketplace section for holistic products and services, and advertise your products and services. Don't forget to follow Healthy Explosion Show on Twitter and Facebook.